Ohio State University Oral History Project Heritage Manor. This interview is being conducted at Heritage Manor on January 23rd, 1984, at approximately 10. For the Ohio State University Oral History Project Heritage Manor. This interview is being conducted at Heritage Manor on January 23rd, 1984, at approximately 10:45 a.m.
Okay, I want to just get some basic information, first of all. I'd like to know when and where you were born, and what your education was like as a child, and that kind of thing.
Okay. I was born May 11th, 1904, in New York City. Mm-hmm. I've had public school and high school education there. Then I got married.
Mm-hmm. Did you stay in New York when you got married?
Just for a little while. We were in business there, in the dress business there, in Long Island. My husband had a place there. Then when the union came in, we had to get out because we couldn't afford the union prices, because our stuff was made piecework. This one made a sleeve, this one made a hem, this one made different things of the dress until it was assembled. And naturally, when the union came in, we had to quit. Mm-hmm. And when we had to quit, that was when his people lived here in Youngstown, that he came to visit them. And we had visited now for, well, we were married 51 years, so we had visited that whole time that we have been here. And he's been gone now 11 years, and I'm still visiting because my people naturally are gone. I have nobody to go back to New York. I had three brothers, two of them are gone, and I just have one brother that's left, my oldest brother, who lives in Florida, and I see him whenever I happen to go down. Mm-hmm. Now, naturally, when my husband was living, I was able to make trips, and I did go down to see him. But now that things are different and no money is coming in except Social Security, you cannot go to Florida on Social Security.
Yeah, that would be a little difficult.
That's right. And I am not the type that would want to go to Florida and live or stay even for a short time with my brother, because we haven't seen each other. We really don't know each other. We don't have anything in common with each other. We say, how are you? How are the children? And then we say, well, I think it's time to leave. and that is the extent of our conversation.
So you haven't visited him a lot in the past?
Now he's called me. I mean, while I'm here, he'll call and see how I'm getting along, and he was very, very surprised that I was here, which I was surprised myself, because I came here right from the hospital, and I didn't have much to say about it. I was just said, well, this is it. You need 24 hours of supervision, because I never know when I'm going to take sick. And I'm a particular person that I take sick about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And I lived alone, which was very, very hard.
Yeah.
I have two wonderful daughters, but I don't feel that I have to burden them with me for 24 hours, that they're not going to sleep for fear that I'm moaning in the next room, or for fear that I'm going in some sort of a spell or something like that. And I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I have always been a very, very independent person. And I hope to stay that way if I possibly can. I drove until I had my operation on my eye. I went where I wanted to go. I did what I wanted to do. If there was traveling, I did it. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband insisted that I do things like that. Because we were in business, and he couldn't get away, but I was able to get away. He made it his business that I got away. I went to Hawaii. I went to all the Catskills. I went to Canada. I went to each and every place that he thought I should see and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Was this in the early part of the century?
What was that, please?
Was this towards 1920, 1930? Were you traveling then also?
Oh, I traveled all the time. I went to see my mother and dad at least once a year. So I went to New York,
mm-hmm.
and stayed. For the children's school vacations, I went down there and stayed because mother kept my room and I always had where to go. So that was what I say. Now, going to Hawaii, I had gone after Al had passed away,
mm-hmm.
because I would never leave him for 6 weeks and go.
Oh, yeah.
But as is, there were six women of us. We went together. We did everything together. And we just traveled together, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Washington if we wanted to. And whatever we wanted to do, we really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say on the tape that my life was very, very interesting and a very, very good life and the best that anybody could ever have. And really, that is something that I would like the world to know. Because when you're married to anybody for 51 years, it's a long time, and it was a good time.
Mm-hmm. It must have been to last that
yes,
long.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that knew him comes in and says, when they made him, they threw away the pattern. There's nobody else like Al.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I feel.
Yeah. Was he from this country? Was he born
in
this country?
Oh, yes, he was born in New York City, too.
Okay. Did you live in an apartment as a young girl? Or in a...
You mean when I got married?
No, as a young girl in your teens.
Well, mother had an apartment first. Then when we got a little bit bigger, we moved out to Long Island into our home.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our home, and that's where all of us children got married from and things like that. So if you wanted to know it then. But when we went to public school, we lived in an apartment, you know, one of these big buildings. You know,
the high-rise type.
That we lived in.
Mm-hmm. What was school like in New York? Was it the way it would have been for, say, someone going to school now, a child going to school now?
Well, I really don't know too much about the children going to school, although when my children were small, the two girls, I have two girls,
mm-hmm.
I was president of the PTA. I always tried to do work with the children as much as I possibly can. And I have found that the teachers have been very cooperative. And I don't know how they are now because I don't have any little children anymore, you
mm-hmm.
know. But before that, I have found that the teachers have been absolutely marvelous. If you were a scholar that learned, you were better. And if you were, my children are just mediocres. You know what I mean? They're not stupid, but they're not geniuses.
Okay.
And they never failed in anything. They went to school, and in fact, now, one of them married Dr. Glass here, if you know, I don't know whether you know him or not.
No, I haven't heard of him.
And then when he went to school up in Columbus, why, she went up there too, but she worked up in the athletic department there and helped him go through school,
mm-hmm.
and now he is a very successful dentist here in town.
Oh, good.
That's one. Now, the other one, did you want to know about the other one,
certainly,
too?
Certainly, go ahead.
Okay. The other one's name is Dolores Merkin. Her husband, at the beginning, was in the car business. Mm-hmm. But now, for the past couple of years, he has what they call... Do you go to the malls here?
Occasionally.
Well, he has the cage card.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar with that.
Well, now he has the cage card from here, well, almost as far as to West California.
Wow.
They have about 50, 60 stores right now. So that's his business.
Mm-hmm.
And his two boys that he has is in business, right, with him. His three brothers have been in business, ever been their little children in the car business. They've always worked together, and they still work together.
Mm-hmm. That was Dolores you just told me about. What was your other daughter's name?
Donna.
Donna Glass.
Donna Glass.
Okay.
With one N, G-O-N-A.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's see here. What do you remember yet? What year it was when you first came to Youngstown?
Oh boy. Well, let's say approximately. I came for a visit, and then I went home, and then I came back. Let's say 1920.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say approximately. That would make me here how long? That would make me.
That would be 60 years.
60 years. Well now wait, because I was married 50 years, and then my husband had passed away a little over 10 years, so it should be approximate. Mm-hmm. Now, this is all approximately.
Oh, sure, What were the religious institutions in Youngstown like in the 1920s? Synagogues and...
Well, we did belong to the Temple Emmanuel at that time, mm-hmm. which is now the El Emeth. They have combined with another temple, and they have made it beautiful temple. Mm-hmm. We had belonged there. I belonged to the sisterhood when I came here and belonged to the, well, at that time, do you want to know where I belonged to at that time?
Sure.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, I helped organize the B'nai B'rith. I belonged to the Hadassah. I belonged to the Council of Jewish Women.
Did you say
Council of Jewish Women?
No, the one before that, the Ladassa?
The Hadassah.
Hadassah, okay. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. I belonged to all the... You see, we were in business after we came here.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, being in business, the customers that came in would say, now you have to belong to this and this organization. So I have belonged to every temple's sisterhood. I have belonged to all of the clubs. But then after we had sold the business and Al had passed away, if I feel that I can do anything for these organizations just to be a plain member and not go even to a meeting, I feel that I shouldn't feel that way, because maybe the money might have meant something to them, but to me it meant that I was wasting time because I never went to any of their meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Now B'nai B'rith, I never miss a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
My sisterhood of the temple, I never miss a meeting. I don't miss anything that I could do. At school, I was in the PTA business. We had all sorts of different things that we did. I was president for the Jewish Community Center, if you wanted to mark that down, for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. What sorts of things did you do as the president of the Jewish Community Center?
What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing we did, naturally, is open the meeting and welcome all the people that were there. If we had new members, we tried to make them as happy as they possibly can. And introduce them to everybody. We went to little shows. Now, I was a type try and put this for you, that I did not believe in going to places where it was going to cost these people a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Most of them live on Social Security, and I felt that we cannot go to Carousel or go to places where it's $20-$30 a person. Mm-hmm. I went where there was $4-$5 a person, and with that we even had our meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I felt that I was doing something for the organization.
Mm-hmm. What specifically is the organization for, the Jewish Community Center?
It is a Jewish community center, but everybody can belong. It is not specially for Jewish people now. At that time, I only had 30 people, and when I left, I had 100 and something.
Wow.
So you see, I did work very, very hard.
I guess.
And I enjoyed every minute of it, and I hope to be able to do little things for them here, although now my eyes are bad, my heart is bad, I have sugar. I have so much more things than I had at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I feel that there will be little things that I will be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, you've still got your mind.
Oh, yes, the
mind
is
there. That's the most important thing.
And if I possibly can, I would like to help them as much as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to give up my home, which hurt very, very much. So if I cry, I don't feel bad.
Yes, I understand. It has to be very traumatic.
Oh, I did get, in fact, they just gave it up either yesterday or the day before. I didn't even go there because I said, now look, girl, anything I have is not for sale. Anything that people need, they are welcome to have it. Don't just give it away to a to Goodwill or anything like that, because they're mostly new things. I've only been there for a little over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big house, but then when the children got married, I had to sell the house because what was I going to do with a big house? So I went into this three-room apartment at Park 5, if you know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where I lived until yesterday. And but they did dispose of everything except the little things that I want to remember, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My pictures, my little things that I want to remember.
Yeah, they brought some beautiful things.
They brought my TV, they brought my desk, they brought little things that I wanted, and little things that I have no room for. I just had to give away, that was all.
Mm-hmm.
But I know everybody. I mean, everybody that's worth knowing, let's put it that way, I think I know, because I've been with them. I've been, well, I gave my time, my life,
mm-hmm.
for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can say is, people to me are my life. If there's anything I can do, I don't care whether they're a baby or whether they're 90 years old, that age does not mean anything to me. I just want to do whatever I possibly can for anybody that I can. Here, it's going to be hard because they are sick people. After all, let's not fool ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Who comes here? Sick people. Nobody comes here that's well. I didn't even know I was coming here when I came with the ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped here. I thought, what the heck am I doing here? But this is it. Because I do not want to bother, I do not want to have my children tied down now that their children are married and they could go and do whatever they want to do,
mm-hmm.
or do whatever they want to do, whether it's go visiting, go, you know, if they want to go with their husbands out of town, if they want to do anything, I don't want them to feel that their mother is holding them back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I am here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they don't want me. It's just because I don't want to burden them.
Mm-hmm. That's a better way to handle a situation like that,
well,
is from that point of view.
Now, there are a whole lot of people here that feel differently. They say, well, I wouldn't feel that way if I was you, Lee. I know what you did for your children when they were small. Now, my girls used to do dancing when they were small. Mm-hmm. I used to take Dolores 6 days a week to mm-hmm. Fred Kothheimer, if you remember him, here in town.
Vaguely.
Well, six days a week, either he came to my house when she was 9 months old and she stretched her because she was an acrobatic dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did whatever I possibly could for my children.
Mm-hmm.
But that has nothing to do with it. I'm their mother and I'm supposed to do things that I want to do for my children. But I don't feel that they should say, gee, mother, I'd like to go here and here. Do you mind if I would go? And I would say no. And a couple of times they even brought me a babysitter. And I was very, very embarrassed. I don't feel that I need a babysitter to come and sit with me.
Mm-hmm.
But when they did that, I said, well, this is it. If I ever get sick again, I am not coming back. Because every time I got sick, I went 2 weeks to one girl and 2 weeks to the other. They both live in Youngstown, so they were able to do it. Now, before I gave up my place, they had their days. On Monday, Dolores took me to the doctor. She took me the little things that I had to do. On Thursday, Donna took me shopping. She took me to my medicine. She took me to they had their routine of what they knew that they had to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
On Sundays, I used to go and visit them.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have great-grandchild, so I go to visit them, you know. Or they were even here a couple of times already. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel very, very good to think that they come. But when I have to leave, and they have to leave, then it's bad.
They'll be back, though. You know they'll be back.
Oh, yes, they'll be back. Now, yesterday, we had the Super Bowl game over at one of their houses, and they had about 30 people. And we had a marvelous time until I had to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to business.
Yeah, of course it's difficult. It's not easy to deal with that.
It's very, very hard. And don't misunderstand me. This is a marvelous, marvelous place. I never knew to really what they do here.
Mm-hmm.
But they do. They are marvelous. Now, they knew that I was crying yesterday. They came and they sat here for about 2 hours with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, come on, Lee. You know better than that. And, I mean, they're very, very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah, Mr. Altshuler has a lot of good things to say about it.
Oh, yes. I was talking to him yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the sisterhood that you belong to?
You mean for the temple?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now there, I was really not an officer because we have a store. And it was hard to take off all time and go to meetings and things like that. But I tried to do, I never missed a meeting or a luncheon, but I mean to really work with them. I've never been too strong, let me put it that way,
mm-hmm.
that I could do everything. Because I've had sugar diabetes now for over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you see my time is limited. Mm-hmm. I could just do certain things, and then I've got to stop. But I've never been asked a thing that I wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's a donation for something, you know what I mean? When I'm able to do it, I do it. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are not in any positions to do anything because most of your money, I imagine, is put into, I don't even know anything about it because the girls took care of everything. So if you wanted to know anything about money part or anything, I wouldn't know. Because
is the sisterhood a women's organization?
The sisterhood.
Uh-huh. And what sorts of things do they do?
Now, to tell you the truth, the only thing I know is when we go to lunches, they have things like that. At Christmas time, they have a place where they package Christmas gifts. And pay, you know, you charge them so much and so much, and they make up whatever it is for the... And then they buy something that belongs, that they would like to put into the new temple.
Uh-huh.
And when they have their lunches, it isn't free. It mm-hmm. also is a paid thing. And whatever they make on that goes into the, that they do. They have a gift shop there that you can buy a little, like they have one here. Mm-hmm. Did you see the gift shop?
Yes, I've seen it.
Well, that's what my son-in-law's put in.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's their business. But he put this in as gratis, as now they can do whatever they want or sell whatever. Because they make a lot of things here.
Yeah, it's a nice little shop.
Oh, yes.
So it's more or less a community service kind of organization?
That's right. That they try to make... Now I heard that they started even to play bingo, which we never... When I came to Youngstown, you never heard of playing bingo at a temple.
No.
But now they do. And they pay up their mortgages, they pay up all that stuff, which is wonderful. I have nothing against bingo.
Uh-huh.
Or anything against anything where they can make money. As long as it's done legitimately, that's mm-hmm. all that bothers me. No crooked work. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
What is the Hadassah? I've heard the term Hadassah a number of times and don't know what it is.
But they do it also on the same, all of these places do it on the same scale as the B'nai B'rith. They have different plays, they have different things that they, I think now they may even have something where they take, I don't know because I haven't been here long enough, the elderly people maybe to a play. Now whether they pay for those things or not, I don't know. Or whether it goes. Now, I am a paid-up member, so I don't know too much about these things. I am even a paid-up member at the Jewish Center, which I paid my dues before I even came in here, because I feel that those who could pay should pay. And those who can should get the same benefit, though.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to go and do things. But it's really, to tell you too much about them, I never went to a meeting. Because I didn't have
time. Oh, that's one that you hadn't
gone. I was in
gone.
Business, see, for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't go. I didn't go to the Council of Jewish Women. But when we sold the store, when Al took sick, we sold the store. Well, then I wrote my resignation to most, except I wouldn't do that to the B'nai B'rith because I feel I'm a charter member there, and I feel that I am part of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't you say that you helped to found that organization?
Yes, here in town.
Uh-huh.
That's an organization all over the world. What I mean is here in town.
The local chapter.
I am a charter member. I think there's only two of us that's left. All the rest have passed away. I think there's only two. Maybe there's one. I don't know. And I'm not all there, Peter, so I don't know.
I was talking with some people a couple of months ago who were telling me that in the early 1900s, up until around 1930, if I'm remembering correctly, there was a division between the factions, the religious institutions here in town, where the immigrants from Russia built their own temple, and then the immigrants from Hungary built their own temple. And do you know anything about that?
I've got to put that into. I am not a very, very good temple goer because we didn't have the time. On Friday nights, when we are open until 8 o'clock at night, we cannot run home and get washed and dressed and go to a temple meeting and things like that. We really didn't have the time to do those things. So I really don't know too much about them. And personally, me, I hold nothing against religion. Whether you are a Jew, whether you are a Protestant, whether you are black, whether you are white. I had a girl with me for 34 years that worked for me until the day that she died. When she died, naturally, I had to get somebody else. But to me, she was like my own child, because she helped raise my children. She worked for them. Mm-hmm. And so I really can't tell you too much about them. Now, when they had anything doing at the Colored Church, I'd go. I didn't think anything of it. I feel that they are as good as I am, because I had good ones. You know what I mean? I didn't have trash. Mm-hmm. I had good ones. And she was a good churchgoer, and I just loved her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where was your business located?
Where was it?
Mm-hmm.
On New York and Elm. Do you know where that is?
I know where Elm Street is. Is New York towards town?
No. No, it's up this way here. Do you know where Bonita is? What street do you know?
Yes, I know Bonita.
Well, it's the street before Bonita.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I think, I'm not sure, but I think Arabs have it now.
Mm-hmm. What type of business was it? It was dressing?
It's a soupirette. It's a food business.
Oh, you were doing dresses in New York.
In New York.
And then you came here and you went into food?
That's right.
Okay, so you had a little market type thing.
Yes, it was a nice market. Mm-hmm. We had quite a few of, I should say, the best clientele in Youngstown. Because we did delivery, we did, you mentioned the doctors that bought them, and we had them. Mm-hmm. We had them have many people who lived around there, unless they ran out of the bread. But to me, that's not a customer.
No.
But I know that when we sold the business, we had books that we used to keep, because we had an accountant that kept all that stuff for it. And there were a couple of $1,000 that were out, and we did not lose one red cent. Everybody paid everything to the penny.
My goodness.
Said, Lee, anytime that Al feels, I don't care what part of town he goes, if he's going to go into business again, we will start to buy. We had the president of Strauss's, you know, Strauss Hirschberg here. Mm-hmm. We really had lovely people.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Oh, yes. They were all very, very nice.
Mm-hmm. How long did you have that business there?
22 years.
So it was into the 60s when you sold it?
Well, Al is dead 11 years and a week.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you how many hours, which really wouldn't mean anything to you. But we'll say 11 years that Al is gone. And then when we sold the business, we went to California for about 6 weeks. So about 23 years, let's put it down roughly.
Mm-hmm.
That and outside of that, he's been working all his life.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be in the 83 and about 50, about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
In the 30s.
Was the market kosher?
Was it what?
Was it kosher?
My market?
Mm-hmm. What other kinds of businesses were there around you?
Well, on Bonita, there was a drugstore. And on my corner, there was our store. Down on Logan, I think there was a kosher butcher shop on Logan Avenue. I'm not sure, because after we had bought that, I used to keep a kosher home when my mother-in-law was living. But after she had passed away, and we had bought this store, Al says, it doesn't make any difference to you, honey. Whatever we have, and we have the best of everything, why should we go ahead and buy tough stuff? Now, you know what one you buy. Are you Jewish?
No, I'm not.
Because when you buy some Jewish meat, really, they're tough. But we didn't have that. We have the best in town. Otherwise, Al won't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you came to Youngstown, did they still have trolley cars?
Oh, yes.
What were those like? Did they run on the electrical thing above?
There was one on Market Street. Gee, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But I know they used to push a door, hand over the door, and we used to go down. But I don't remember about the trolleys at all. Mm-hmm.
They weren't horse-drawn?
Oh, no.
Okay.
We had the Hippodrome Theater at that time in the Hip Arcade.
Where were those located?
The Hip Arcade? Well, where McKelvey's was. You go in through there.
Okay.
There was Lee's jewelry store there. There was a lot of stores going in there, and they had this theater at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you bought a season ticket or any way that you wanted it. And you saw some pretty good shows.
That's not Powers Auditorium, is it?
Oh, no.
No, that was down
further. That's up further. This is down further. This is right where McKelvey's is, because McKelvey's had an entrance that you could go right straight into McKelvey's right from the theater.
Uh-huh.
Don't you remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I was wondering how long ago that was.
Well, it was a long time, because that was one of the things that my husband bribed me to try and stay in Youngstown. Because I had my family in New York.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't see living here. It was real wilderness. Where my mother-in-law lived was on Kyle Street. That was where all the Jewish people lived. And when I went to the window to look out, I saw a horse in the yard. I almost died. And I let out such a yell. They all come running. What's the matter? I said, my God, there's a horse there. Now, who ever leaves a horse outside? I wouldn't go there for no love or money. Or he would take me for a ride and show me the beautiful country. There was chickens running around, ducks running around, and cows running. It smelled to high heaven. And when you're not used to that, it was very,
I can imagine.
It was very, very bad.
I can imagine coming from New York City into something like that, yes.
And the theaters that we had in New York and places like that, and the restaurants even.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it was really nothing. Nothing but these dirty, filthy animals running around. I never saw a mouse in my life until I looked out there. Now, what do you call that thing? And now I said, they won't hurt you, honey. Don't be afraid of them. Don't touch anything.
Uh-huh.
I said, don't worry. I won't even go out in the yard, let alone touch them. But that first horse that I saw there, I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. Then Al went out, and he bought me a car. I think it was a Ford, one of these Fords. One of these real old-fashioned Fords, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a man come and teach me how to drive. And he said, see, it's not bad. You have nothing to keep you in the house here, because I stayed with my mother-in-law, because I said I wasn't going to live in Youngstown for no love or money. Even if I had to divorce that wonderful man, I think I would, and I wouldn't stay here. But after he got the car and he got little things that he never said no to me and things like that, I thought, well, let me try for a couple of years. So here I am.
Where did your mother-in-law live?
On Kyle Street.
Where is that?
Well, that was, I really don't know if they have Kyle Street now.
Oh.
I think they put a bridge. Didn't they something down on the south side there?
The Market Street Bridge?
No. The South Avenue Bridge or something. Wasn't there a South Avenue?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or something like that. I think, I'm not sure, but I think that.
Well, they used to have, before they built the bridges, the streets would go into that It's like a little valley, and then you'd have to go up the hill. Is that the area you're talking about?
No, this Jewish area was a straight area, and there was a Jewish grocery store there, and there was a Jewish butcher store there.
Mm-hmm.
That doctor don't get here, I'll talk to them.
Are you all right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's, I don't know what it is. But it was all Jews. I don't think there was a Gentile person that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
That I could remember. That's how I know all most of these Jewish people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's interesting, because now most people identify the North Side and the Liberty area as the Jewish community.
Well, it's moving. You see, when we moved up here to the North Side, it was up to like Gypsy Lane,
mm-hmm.
and then you got the rich ones, you know. Now, nobody's on Gypsy Lane except we poorer people. They're beautiful homes, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
they've gone up to Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone up to Colonial Drive. They've gone way out. You know, like with my two girls. Well, they wouldn't live down here. See, they live way out in Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And I live down
here. So you're saying that you can see the progression of money.
Oh, yeah.
The
homes are, they're just absolutely gorgeous out there.
Oh, yeah, there
and
are some nice places.
Do you live in Liberty?
No, I live on the west side, but I've been driving around in Liberty a few times.
Gorgeous, gorgeous homes there.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived right opposite the North Side Hospital, where they made that new driveway
mm-hmm.
to go in. Well, I lived right on the corner there.
Oh.
I lived there for 10 years, and then the girls thought, well, maybe there was too much of Daddy around. Maybe it's best that you just get out. But I did live there for about 7 years without him.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very hard. Very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I told you, when I came here, I didn't even know where I was going. And they had this place just exactly the way it is right now. The
mm-hmm.
television was here, my desk was here. Everything, my poor little animals that I made were here, and whatever I have here is—it's like a home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put
it's nice that you have some of these things around, especially such beautiful things. I was looking at this on the wall behind you. That's a beautiful piece back there.
Well, that's my own. And this a girlfriend of Dolores' made, and I had that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now this one is just a cheap picture, but I didn't know what to do with the big wall there. So I just put that one up. And I haven't seen any of the other rooms, so I really don't know too much
mm-hmm.
about what their rooms are like.
There,
were you in Mr.
Yeah, I've
Altru's
been in
place?
A few, yeah. There,
he must have a lot of pictures there.
He has paraphernalia around everywhere, memorabilia, you know, photographs and papers and, yeah, he's got a lot of stuff around there.
Well, I didn't want to have too much around, but whatever I have,
mm-hmm.
then they brought the clothes in, and Goldie Padilla, you know, Goldie Cella, she
mm-hmm.
came in, she said, now, I know Goldie when she was this big, because that was when I came here.
Mm-hmm.
I lived right next door to her, because she was with the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, where are you going to hang all this thing? I said, I don't know. Do you think I should take two rooms? And she said, she laughed about it. But I had a girlfriend that can wear the same size as I do, so she came over and I said, Adeline, take everything and anything you want, because I have absolutely no place to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, okay, now when you want to move from here, I'll give you everything back. I said, you don't have to bother, you just take it. And the same with the furniture. I did not take 2 cents for any of my furniture. whatever was given to people who I felt needed it. I had my dining room suit that we never ate on because I was alone. Well, who's going to bother making and fixing up a dining room when I have my small kitchen there? You know what I mean? Or sitting even in the living room. I sat on the sofa more than the chairs are when you open them, you know. They're brand new there. Mm-hmm. So I said, really, whoever got them, and I said, please don't tell me who got them. I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me. Maybe I shouldn't be that way, but that's the way I am.
Oh, I have to admire you for that. I think that's a very nice way to handle it. What else can you tell me about early Youngstown? Were there differences in Youngstown during the 20s and 30s as compared to now?
I really don't think there's too much. The people are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people that I knew when I first came here are gone. The new ones are my girlfriends that are my daughter's friends because I bowled with them, I golfed with them, because people my age don't do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But with them, they did. They took me and they liked it, and I went. So I really don't know too much about the older people until I became president of the Jewish Center. And as I told you, then I only looked for what they could do. I went to the Playhouse a lot with them.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that that's what they could do. It only cost $2-3 and another dollar or something to eat. And my God, they had a beautiful evening. Now, when they want to go to Carousel, they told me, they asked me if I wanted to go, it was $20-something for one person. Now, who could afford that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're with a husband and wife, it cost you $40-50, that's too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't see it, and I always got up and I opened my mouth about it because I didn't think it was fair.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Now they have it quiet there because nobody opens their mouths like this.
You mentioned earlier that you knew a lot of people, that you knew everybody who was anybody or something.
Well,
what kind of people did you know?
I knew everybody.
Uh-huh.
Well, I knew Dr. Shenz and his wife, and when their children got married, they invited us to their teas and to their weddings. And I knew Dr. Firestone, and I knew Dr. Yarmy and Dr. Rebecca. I hope you can do something with it, you know.
Oh, surely.
Naturally, surely. Now with Bess, she was in the old country. She knows more about, you know, the old country that she could have told you about.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't have.
Who's Bess?
That lady that was sitting with me. She said that you had an interview up at the center. Did you interview her?
No, I didn't, but my colleague, Carrie, has been doing interviews over there.
Oh, she was with them.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of interesting things because she came here when she was a little girl. And she really grew up here and brought this one over and that one over. I didn't have that. My brothers were born right in New York City, right with me. Mother and Dad came here on their honeymoon and they stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, that's why I say I'm not too good a Jew because by the time I was born, the last child, Mother was Americanized already, you know what I mean? Although she kept a kosher home,
mm-hmm.
but still, it wasn't like I was, like I thought. We never lived in a real Jewish neighborhood in New York. We always lived in a mixed neighborhood. Mother.
What country was your mother from?
From Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad was too. They came here, I guess, to see the golden New York, you know, where you pick up money from the street. Which they didn't pick up, you know.
They figured that one out pretty quick.
No. Well, Dad had always done very, very good. He was an interior decorator, and he did very, very well. And that's why I say we didn't really live in a set neighborhood where I had to live, for instance.
Excuse me 1 minute. I'm just returning this stuff. I'm not going to take any more. This is the stuff that has to go to the cleaners.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take any more because I'm going to leave here in about 20 minutes. So
next time
I'll come, I'll do more.
Then you can start on the cover.
Yeah.
Okay, because see, I have been washing my own things.
Okay.
But thank you very, very much.
I'll see you in a couple of days.
Okay. Aren't you coming tomorrow with Mother?
No, I'm going to work at the office tomorrow.
Oh. Okie dokie. Bye-bye. Now that's Bess's daughter.
Mm, okay.
She does a lot of volunteer work.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a time now. Her children are married, mm-hmm. and she has a time to do it.
Yeah. Did your parents ever tell you why they left Russia?
Why
they left Russia?
No, because they got married and they said, well, everybody goes, I guess, on a honeymoon. I don't know why, but they do. And they said, oh, let's go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they went, and that's where they stayed. I mean, nobody brought them over here. They had to really start from scratch. And they did.
Yeah, I remember, though, that during the latter part of the 1800s, Russia was not a good place
to
be
live,
Jewish. So I was wondering if that had anything to do with it.
Well, Mother never said anything about it. And as I say, Mother tried to speak Jewish to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very, very hard time. Now, my dad took up English very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
He was out amongst people, and he did that while Mother was right at home, and her next-door neighbor must have been Jewish, and so on and so
mm-hmm.
forth. But I understand, now I used to understand everything my mother told me, and then I would talk to her in English, and she would understand what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my brother went to college, he took German, because he figured that that was the easiest language to talk to Mother, you know. That's the one that's living down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, I can't think of another thing that's happened to me except what's happened to me now, which to me is not the best thing in the world that could have happened. But, now when Lynn said, I'll see you tomorrow, we have a little boy, I'll show you his picture, that she had helped them adopt because she couldn't have any children. She's a nurse over at the Northside Hospital. And he is getting his real name tomorrow. And he's going to be theirs because it's the year that's up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having a little party for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's nice. What were you doing during World War II? What was that like?
Well, World War II now. I was a little girl at that time. My brother Lou, that's the one that's down in Florida, he was in the service. Now, my husband was too young to be in two and too old to be in three, so he hasn't been in the service at all.
You mean one and two?
I mean, one and two. So he hasn't been in the service at all. Now, I did belong to the Jewish War Veterans because of him. See, and I belong to the Jewish War Veterans.
Mm-hmm.
We had nothing new that happened. It's all I could remember was my mother was dark-haired like you, and when my brother came to say goodbye that he was going overseas, mother didn't go to bed that day, and she sat on a rocker, and when we got up in the morning, because we were children, we went to bed, my mother was as gray as I am. Just overnight, she turned gray.
Wow.
Well, that's what I did.
Oh, God. Overnight.
This is the color that my hair has always been. I don't think the girls remember me with that other color.
My mother went gray very early. She was in her early 20s. So I don't remember her being any other.
And at that time, they didn't take rinses or go ahead for anything else, you know. Now my girls have black hair. This is black as can be. But if they wouldn't do anything to it, they'd be like their old lady, just as gray as I am.
So your brother went to the service during World War I?
My brother did.
Uh-huh. And then following World War I into the end of the 20s, there was the Great Depression.
Oh, yes.
What was that like?
Well, I can't say that we ever felt depression. Because Dad had always worked, always had plenty of food to give to us, plenty of clothes to give to us. I don't remember one day, the only thing I could remember was my mother would say, if we didn't finish what was on the plate, mother would say, why don't you think of the poor children in Europe who have nothing to eat, and you want me to throw this away? So sometimes we would gag, and we would eat it because we didn't want to hurt her feelings. But that was the only thing. And we used to say, mother, don't put big portions on. Then you won't feel that we are wasting it. But that's the only thing that I could ever hear my mother say, was think of the people who don't have enough to eat. Now that was my mother.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't ever remember. Because, you know, in New York in those years, to live in an elevator house and have a doorman, that was a big thing. And that's where we lived. So you see, I've always had a marvelous childhood.
You say you don't go to synagogue regularly and that sort of thing, but aside from that, are you in favor of Zionism?
Of what?
Zionism?
I didn't get you.
Zionism. Are you in favor of Zionism?
Oh, Zionism.
Right, right.
I'm not a very good Zionist, to tell you the truth. I never went into, really, to listening and knowing what it was all about. I do have some bonds someplace when they used to sell them, but not because I am a good Zionist. It's just because my neighbors did it or something like that. But I don't remember Mother and Dad ever talking about things like that, so I really don't know. But going to the temple, if I possibly could now hear, since I started to come here, the first time that I could remember that I went over Friday night and I lit the candle and I went to temple. A Saturday morning, somebody came here and called for me. It was so spooky. Come on, it's time to go to the temple, lady. Come on, you got started, don't stop. So I went. Now how long is going to last? Okay. Because you gotta get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
6 o'clock?
Oh. I'm just turning up. Today I fell off the bed at 6 o'clock.
Oh,
she
my.
She come over and she says, Lee, well, see, they give me an insulin shot. And then they have to give me another shot. And then they have to give me a urine test. And
it takes time. And at 8 o'clock, you've got to be in the kitchen to eat.
For breakfast.
So you see, you don't have too much time. But for breakfast, you can go in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people would have time to put a dress on between you and I. And then right from there, they took me to my whirlpool.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that, and I came home here and got my clothes on. Then I thought I'd wait for the doctor. And here I am. I could have been up to dress.
Still waiting.
But he'll be here. But if he ain't here, I'm going to call my own doctor. Because I can't stand up. But it's heavy on my foot. And I don't want to attach to them more than I am to
Oh, well, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, this is the end of my life. This is the end. Here's the foot. This is the end. I am here. But to try and make the best of everything. And that's about all I can do. I don't personally think I'll be ever able to go back into hospital. Because in the first place,